road ahead will be long. Our climb will be steep. We may not get there in 1 year or even in one term. But America, I have never been more hopeful than I am tonight that we will get there. I promise you, we as a people will get there. There will be setbacks and false starts. There are many who won't agree with every decision or policy I make as president. And we know the government can't solve every problem. But I will always be honest with you about the challenges we face. I will listen to you, especially when we disagree. I will listen to you, especially when we disagree. I will listen to you, especially when we disagree. I will listen to you, especially when we disagree. I will listen to you, especially when we disagree.
TV reaches, see speeches of stuttering, stammering, hammering, got a damn ring home, we had it too good, watch you give the banks everything, 8 trill bail out, Barack, will that stick, will the press be allowed to talk, I was Jerry Corsi, arrested by King Bruce, Odinga, Oil, Obama, Brett, fascist torture, protect the birthright of the Antichrist, ready for race riots and fights where nobody's right, ready for black and white answers to cancer, socialized health care, mandatory vaccine answers, ready for global warming taxes, climate change every day, but now we can't relax, it's easy to see, we can see a new way past this, the last kiss of death for Obama-side tactics.
It is the 19th day of April, 2010. You are listening to CKLN, Rude Awakening here on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online. Rogers Cable Box 947. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays with your Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday morning Rude Awakening. And here on this Monday morning, I did start off the show with the first two tracks from my album, Obamacide, which was released in April of 2009, just a few months after he was inaugurated. Although early tracks from the album were released in November of 2008, because I've been on to Mr. Obama for some time right now. And why? I mean, what is the point of picking on Obama? It just makes people unhappy. I want to like Barack. Can I just like Barack? Can I have my own fantasy of what, you know, this politician means to me? You know, can I have a right to my opinion? Well, there is some interesting propaganda going on out there with respect to Mr. Obama, Mr. Obama's supporters, and so on. And I'm catching demonization of the Tea Parties in the U.S., which are by no means perfect. Certainly started off as a good idea. Still have many great people there, but the Republicans smelled something big brewing and co-opted many of them. But a lot of the demonization of the Tea Parties is because these same Republicans weren't protesting Bush for, you know, horrible policies and the wars and the torture and the bailouts to banks and so on. But these are being sent by and to ostensibly Obama supporters who are doing nothing right now to oppose the exact same policies they hated under Bush being accelerated under Obama. So you know, and they, you can cheer for healthcare without knowing any of the details, but that's just not smart. You know, I mean, it's kind of like the Obama bandwagon is always there for people to jump on if they want, and it's got to be destroyed, because we need to understand what's happening in today's day and age, and the fantasy and celebrity culture that we're being sold, even with respect to our political figures, when the most important political decisions in history are being made by the New World Order. And I'm telling you, the New World Order out there, the Anglo-American establishment, subject that I bring up quite often on this show, because I notice not many people do. And so when I take shots at Obama, when I talk about the New World Order, when I talk about 9/11 truth, 9/11 being an inside job, when I break down the global warming, climate change, UN sustainable development agenda fraud to take all our stuff and get us to police each other based on implausible environmental concerns while ignoring very plausible, real, and factual ones affecting our health every single day. You know, attacking the left, the right, different races, you know, heroes when it comes to Obama or whomever. You know, you put yourself in a difficult position, but what you do is you do kind of prove the existence of the New World Order, because most people are having to choose between, you know, one of two sides. If you're an Obama fan, you assume anyone who's not is a Rush Limbaugh or a Glenn Beck fan, and I like neither of those guys, or assume that you're a right winger and ascribe a whole set of ideals to you. And this is the false left-right paradigm they trap us in, as Max Kaiser, a economist in the film Fall of the Republic by Alex Jones, the sequel to The Obama Deception, which came out around March, April of last year, 2009 as well. Fall of the Republic came out this year, I believe, or end of last year. And Max Kaiser says that in communist Russia, you just had one brand, and everybody knew it. Here in communist America, communist Canada, our form of socialism, communism, socialism in a hurry, whereas our socialism is increasingly meant to dupe us into thinking that the governments and the corporations, the people passing legislation that makes the government bigger, have our best interests at heart, and yet we can see governments worldwide growing enormous and people in more jeopardy of losing their lifestyles than ever. So in previous communist systems in China, in Russia, in Cuba, there was just one brand. for the most part. With us here in democracy, in a democracy, they give us usually two brands, you know, Coke or Pepsi, left or right, you know, straight or hip or square, you know, and you're encouraged to choose between, and then they'll, you know, they'll have stories come out that just train our brains to think this way. Tiger Woods, should he do X or Y? You know, should he quit to take time off with his family? Should he say, nah, don't worry about it? You know, he gave her enough money. She can take care of the kids. And they'll force your brain to choose between one of two bad options consistently until, you know, that's what it gets used to. And so we have to find a third way here in 2010, if possible, to get past this. Why? Well, you know, a quick look at, say, cuttingthroughthematrix.com, great site with Mr. Alan Watt. And Alan Watt from cuttingthroughthematrix.com gives you an amazing philosophical overview of what the news is like and gives you a way to interpret the world. Because it is important to be able to interpret the world. You know, to be able to actually say, you know what, I don't need to have everything, all my facts or all my analysis given to me. I can get a working framework, and then I can interpret things that I run into. So Alan Watt's great for that because he gives you kind of the big picture, what the New World Order's been planning ostensibly for a few hundred years, absolutely for at least the last 100 or last 200. Tons of documentation, evidence, cross-reference to that. So going to his site here, U.S. charges Goldman Sachs with fraud. The usual, eternal, never-ending story. And there's a couple of different articles on this here. And this is from the Raw story, courtesy of Cutting Through the Matrix. InfoWars also has this. And essentially it says here, update. SEC says Goldman defrauded investors of $1 billion. And this is the article from John Byrne from Friday, April 16th, 2010 at 11 a.m. The Securities and Exchange Commission, that's the group, the American authority that regulates the stock market, has charged investment banking titan Goldman Sachs with civil fraud over a prepackaged mortgage instrument they say was designed to fail. Goldman Sachs created the derivative called Abacus 2007 AC1 in response to a request from a hedge fund manager who predicted the housing market would collapse and wanted to bet against it. The trader, John Paulson, later earned $3.7 billion for his wager. Goldman's practices cost investors $1 billion, according to the SEC filing. And the New York Times first revealed this story here. The instrument was among 25 Goldman created so that clients could bet against the housing market. So all the while, these people are literally putting billions of dollars on the idea that the housing market is going to collapse. They're not telling, you know, ordinary people that we're losing their houses. And the reason that we have to get active on these issues is that the way the New World Order works, the shadow government basically, is that super rich people have to launder their intentions through a seemingly legitimate government, media, education, you know, structure. And so what will end up happening is, you know, if you're a journalist that discovers something like this, or if you're in the SEC and you have just a crap load of evidence and so on, sometimes your bosses won't be able to stop people inside from pushing initiatives, pushing investigations, pushing stories, and they won't be able to stop them without looking totally obvious, like they're totally obvious plants, or they are totally obviously in the control of someone to suddenly just shut down and kill stories like this. And it happens. And it'll certainly happen, you know, it happens on a regular basis. And journalists are told you can't write about that, you can't review this book, and politicians are told not to say this, and so on. But in organizations like the SEC, the FBI, you know, the RCMP, CSIS, the CIA, you know, there are pockets of people, pockets of resistance that build around discoveries that are the lifeblood of their hope and their job. So you'll get someone at the SEC who goes, you know what, this, you know, and they're just being totally honest, and they're just confused, and they're going, you know what, this crisis is crazy, and I'm discovering things, and I'm sharing it with people, and we're all, and then we're working on, and then finally, boom, you know, we can drop the hammer on one of the bad boys. And they live for this stuff, because if you're in law enforcement, you know, and you're into it, you may want to enforce the law once in a while. And the reason that people need to get active about these issues is that initiatives like this that gain some publicity. And there's a great article from Infowars.com, which reprinted the London Guardian talking about this as well. And this is an article, this gives you an idea of the difference between the way we're spoken to here by our public officials and the way the people in England get to hear an indictment of the system worldwide, including the banking system. It's a great article about how the banking plunge was planned. It wasn't accidental. It was planned. There's just no doubt about that right now. Let's try and find that here. Sorry about that, folks. The point I'm trying to make is this, is that you'll have these little pockets of resistance. And if there is not support on the outside, if there isn't public knowledge of this, then you know, these will just be isolated shouts in the dark. There have been tons of smart people who've said smart things for years. You know, I'm going to play clips of Paul Craig Roberts on this show. At 71, former Assistant Secretary of Treasury to under Ronald Reagan, and former Wall Street Journal columnist and editor. And he's just signing off because he's going, you know what, I fought these guys for 20 years and enough is enough is enough. So here's the point. If we're out there in Awarenessville and we know about these issues, then an article like this that's seen by more people could be massive. And this is Will Hutton from the London Observer, courtesy of Infowars.com. Was reading through this a bit last night. It's fantastic. And the article is titled, you know, I'm going to go to the original here, make sure nothing's changed. Yep. All right, so this is guardian.co.uk. This is the Guardian, largest paper in Europe, kind of like the New York Times of Europe, you know, you could say them, or the French Le Monde. Those are the two largest papers in Europe, Der Spiegel as well out of Germany. So there you go. But it says here, now we know the truth. The financial meltdown wasn't a mistake. It was a con, by Will Hutton in the London Observer from Sunday, the 18th of April, 2010, as reported in The Guardian. So what you'll have is you'll have things like the SEC going after Goldman Sachs. You'll have mainstream publications and journalists there fighting with their indignancy and their stature at the paper to say, come on, boss, you got to let me write this. This is absolutely outrageous. And the editor being spooky or just being afraid of management will have to say, okay, are things in such a way where I have to let this go, or I can even endorse justifying it. And this is all evidence. Now that the New World Order is so incredibly public, we've got to think of what are the best metrics for the most people to understand and accept and appreciate that this is real and that this is something we have to do something about. So here's the article, Will Hutton, The Observer, Sunday, the 18th of April, 2010. Now we know the truth. The financial meltdown wasn't a mistake. Dash, it was a con. Hiding behind the complexities of our financial system, banks and other institutions are being accused of fraud and deception, with Goldman Sachs just the latest in the spotlight. This has become the most pressing election issue of all. And that was the sidebar. So, it says here, the global financial crisis, it is now clear, was caused not just by the bankers' colossal mismanagement. No, it was due to the new financial complexity offering up the opportunity for widespread systemic fraud. Friday's announcement that the world's most famous investment bank, Goldman Sachs, is to face civil charges for fraud brought by the American regulator is but the latest of a series of investigations that have been launched, arrests made, and charges made against financial institutions around the world. Big finance in the 21st century turns out to have been big fraud. Yet Britain, center of the world financial system, has not yet leveled charges against any bank. All we've seen is the allegation of a high-level insider dealing ring, which embarrassingly involved a banker advising the government. We have to live with the fiction that our banks and bankers are lily white, whiter than white, and any attempt to investigate them and their institutions will lead to a mass exodus to the mountains of Switzerland. The politicians of the Labour and Tory party alike are Bambis amid the wolves. And so this is a an exasperated British journalist, lauding the investigations into Goldman Sachs and the furor around the banking industry when in his home country of Britain, of England, there is not nearly as much official furor or unofficial furor. So, you know, here in North America, here in Canada, here in Toronto, where we're fairly, you know, isolated in some ways, it can help to get an international perspective on what's going on. The reporting on the war in Iraq, for example, by the British press has been excellent, and quite terrifying because of all the horrible stuff going on there. Less so on Afghanistan, where there's more British troops involved. But the bottom line is that these are metrics we can use to convince people that, hey, you know, this really is the banks. They are behind this. It is the central banking system that is behind the New World Order. And there's even it even references here a Basel Agreement, BASEL. It says here, put simply, Europe's and the large banks exploited the weak international agreement on bank capital requirements in the so-called Basel Agreement in 2004 to reclassify the risk of their loans and trading instruments. They did not just reduce the risk by 5 or 10%. Breathtakingly, they claimed their new risk management techniques were so wonderful that the riskiness of their assets was up to half of what it had been, despite property and share prices cresting to new all-time highs. And it's good to know that the Bank of International Settlements is at BIS.org, is in Basel, Switzerland, and it is the central bank for all central banks. What they do is they lend money to other central banks who lend money to other banks and countries and so on, and then the BIS centrally calls in the loans, and then every bank has to raise its minimum reserves to pay off the loans. They got to call in loans themselves, and that slows down the economy. So there's all these, you know, little admissions of what's really happening today. Yes, there's a huge banking system. Yes, they got $28 trillion plus dollars in bailouts. Yes, the rest of us are screwed. And yes, we're supposed to worry about Sarah Palin and, you know, what Harper's going to do next and a potential false flag terrorist attack, you know, despite the trillions we've given to our intelligence agencies since 9/11/01, by the way, to stop that. So how do the people at the top treat us? Well, you know, we seem to think we're treated well. You know, we're treated, we've got toys, we've got jobs, although things are looking a little shakier. I'm going to go to a short clip from Paul Craig Roberts on the Alex Jones Show from the 15th of April, 2010, tax day, just a couple of days ago in the United States, breaking down what slavery is and saying, as he says in this clip, that people should know this.
And what he talked about last week, the systematic destruction by design of our economy, the total conversion to basically Mexico or another third world nation where you have a tiny elite and a giant underclass. Dr. Roberts, great to have you here with us today, sir.
Pleased to be with you, Alex.
You look good there with your Skype connection. I see you've got Napoleon Bonaparte on the wall behind you.
Yes, somebody gave me that some years ago when the French, the president of France gave me the French Legion of Honor. And so I can't remember who it was. Somebody gave me this very dramatic picture of a copy. This is a copy of the romantic portrayal of Napoleon that's in the Louvre in Paris.
Wow. Yeah, you never brag about all the laurels you've gotten, one of the top 10 economists living on the planet. You know the drill. We're going to break in about 3 minutes, but you wanted to come on tax day. We're honored to have you here where you won't be censored. Break it down for us.
Well, you know, Alex, one of the great myths is that Americans are free people. And once upon a time they were, but they've not been free since 1913. Because once you have an income tax, you no longer own your own labor. And the historic definition of a free person is a person who owns his own labor. If you don't own your own labor, you are a serf or a slave. So all Americans are either serfs or slaves, depending on the bracket. There are no free Americans, and have not been any free Americans since 1913. So when you hear our leaders, such as George W. Bush, talk about we have freedom and democracy, you certainly don't have freedom. You're a serf. All serfs were required to turn over 20-30% of their labor time to the government of their day. A slave has to turn over about half of his labor time to his owner. And Americans fall in between those two ranges. So every American who works and earns an income is either serf or slave or in between that margin. And that is simply the historic definition of a free person, agreed to by the liberals, by Karl Marx, by the conservatives, by all historians. That is the definition of a free person. We don't meet that definition, and people should be aware of this.
So slow, yeah, I said so slowly, love me, I'm DC just like go-go. Said go-go, yeah, I said go-go. See, I'm back with Don Cannon, it's go-go.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. That was Paul Craig Roberts. Brief clip, going to go to a longer one because he is signing off, and he is a veteran economist, one of the top 10 economists in the world, ostensibly. If you were to, you know, stack them side by each in a police line and say, which one of you guys can economize? And, yeah, as he says, just looking through the history of economics, we are essentially slaves based on the fact that we don't own our labor. And with the income tax, for many of us, it's jacked before we even have a chance to look at it, since it's taken out of our paychecks. So as we listen to Young Jeezy and the song Circulate, well, here. We are asking the powers that be evil to let the dollar circulate, and that does include the big banks and investment firms and investment bankers that do control governments that give them trillions in bailouts, and then also advise the governments to pass policies that lower the living standards of the plebs. So what are they doing while all this is going on? Well, the exact same paper, again, the London Observer, as republished in the London Guardian online at guardian.co.uk, says here, Goldman Sachs fines $5 billion for pay and bonuses amid fraud investigation. And it says here, and the byline is, Goldman staff will benefit from almost half the investment bank's first quarter revenues. Ruth Sunderland from The Observer from, again, the 18th of April. And there's a picture of Lloyd Blankfein with an index finger shoved into his cheek, a middle finger shoved into his mouth, and a perplexed look on his face, looking sort of like you know, Austin Powers, or Mike Myers, rather, doing Dr. Evil from the movie Austin Powers. So it's amusing the shots the Brits are taking at him. But this article says, Goldman Sachs is expected to earmark about $5 billion, or £3 billion, for staff pay and bonuses this week, days after being accused of securities fraud by the U.S. regulators, fueling the controversy over bankers' rewards in the teeth of the financial crisis. Chief Executive Lloyd Blankfein is expected to unveil revenues of $11 billion for the first quarter of this year on Tuesday, up from $9.4 billion in the same period of 2009. About 47% of that will go into a, quote, compensation pool for bosses and employees. The bank, along with Fabrice Touré, one of its VPs, is the subject of a civil fraud complaint by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. It denies the accusations and understood to believe they're a result of a politically motivated witch hunt, timed to coincide with the drive by President Obama to get tough on banks and to come just ahead of its results. Now, Goldman Sachs donated a ton of it to Obama, a ton of money to Obama. Paulson, Geithner, they all used to work for Goldman Sachs. So, you know, don't expect, you know, the Obama White House and the people that control it, which is certainly not Obama, to do a proper investigation. But it just shows the arrogance of these people. in the face of what we're going through in the middle of this recession. Recovery, recession. Well, if we're not out of it yet, let's not count our chickens. A bit more with Paul Craig Roberts on the Alex Jones Radio Show from the 15th of April, 2010. Some wisdom from one of the wisest economists in the world.
Let me illustrate that a little bit more. Back during the slavery period in the United States, there were slaves who had special skills. They were craftsmen. They were highly trained in some aspect of arts and crafts. And they were, their labor was worth more than working in the cotton fields or working on the plantation. And so what would happen is the owners of the slave would lease the slave to a businessman in a city or town. And the man who leased the slave would withhold half of the slave's earnings and send it back to the owner and give the other half to the slave, which he used to maintain himself in town where he lived, on his own resources after tax. Well, that's the way it works today. Most people cannot avoid income tax because they never get the money. It's withheld at the source.
And by the way, we've seen this new hoax by AP and others. I see it all over the news that 47% of Americans don't pay income tax after deductions. But what is FICA and Social Security? Don't they know that their employers are just paying them less because they have to pay all those other taxes and matching Social Security, FICA? I mean, this lie that 47% of the public are avoiding taxes is a hoax, is it not?
Yes, it's a hoax. Most of the things they tell you are a hoax. They also tell you that the rich don't pay taxes. But the IRS statistics of income show that the rich pay almost all the taxes because they have most of the income. And so just about everything people think they know about the income tax system is wrong.
Well, now, there are some international corporations, though, in offshoring, they are avoiding a lot of taxes.
Not necessarily. You see, you're taxed on your worldwide income. If you're paying, if you're a global corporation, say you're operating in the United States and say Europe, for example, and you're taxed in Germany and France, then that income is an offset to those earnings. And it is not, again, taxed in by the United States government. So it's not really the case that they can avoid taxes.
All right, stay there. We got a break then. Big health corporations.
Yes, well.
Why are some of the biggest corporations in the world with government pushing to turn people into indentured servants?
Yes, well, I think to make people aware of that fact is probably more important than to know all the reasons why. A lot of it is a result of unintended consequences, and most of the rest is a result of short-term greed. The way the incentive structure for top management corporations is structured, it gives them a very short term horizon. They want to know what the profits are next quarter. The longest horizon they have is 4 quarters. And the way these things are structured, their bonuses that they get for performance far exceeds their regular salaries. So they make themselves multimillion dollar incomes by moving American jobs offshore, because they then replace American labor with very, very inexpensive foreign labor in countries where there is a huge surplus of unemployed labor. In China, for example, a couple hundred million unemployed people to draw on. So by severely cutting their labor costs, the profits jump dramatically, and they get enormous bonuses. And that's the basic source of it. And it's why the prospects, the economic prospects for millions of Americans are gone, and not just people alive today, but future generations. The kinds of jobs that college graduates used to get are simply disappearing. They're moved abroad, or they are filled with foreign guest workers on H-1B visas and L-1 visas. And so it's actually making the universities redundant. Why in the world did you go pursue university careers with the notion of some professional career that's been destroyed by the offshoring of the jobs? So it's having a tremendous adverse impact on the United States.
And you and other economists talk about how these jobs aren't coming back. It took hundreds of years to build what we've got, now just a few decades to destroy it. There's open discussion by the IMF and World Bank now of the dollar going down. They're saying they need more bailouts, VAT taxes, sales taxes, carbon taxes, when any economist worth their salt knows in a stalling economy, you throw more taxes on, that will just accelerate the economy's implosion.
That's right. You see, by wrecking the economy, they have worsened the trade deficit dramatically. They have worsened the federal budget deficit, which they can no longer finance, and that is a threat to the dollar as reserve currency, which is a threat to their power of the United States. And so now it looks like the hard-pressed Americans could be hit with new forms of oppressive taxation, such as a value-added tax on top of the income and Social Security tax and state sales taxes and property taxes. So they have, by putting the dollar into jeopardy and having to rescue the dollar in order to rescue the power of the American militarist superstate, they have to drive the population, or 96% of it, deeper into the ground. And that's exactly what is on the agenda. And the result for the American people is going to be horrific. They're going to be put through the mill in a way that people haven't experienced in the longest, longest time.
Yeah, this taxation rate is much higher for my study than what caused the colonies to rebel. But also they were having fake courts, royal courts that bypassed juries, and the right of Magna Carta and habeas corpus. And you look at all those parallels, they're identical to what led up to 1775, 1776, but magnified.
Yes, it's all a repeat, isn't it? Habeas corpus is gone. Due process is gone. The attorney-client privilege is gone. Now they force attorneys to rat on their clients. But of course, you know, one difference is the population a couple hundred years ago was more feisty. And there wasn't much difference between the weaponry in the hands of people and the weaponry in the hands of the state.
Stay there. Let's talk about that when we come back. Long segment coming up with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. I'm Alex Jones. InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv are the websites. And when the show ends today at 3 o'clock Central, we're premiering the new film, Invisible Empire, at PrisonPlanet.tv. I want to remind listeners, we're now shipping Invisible Empire New Order Defined on DVD. You can also support us by purchasing it. It's part of a win-win. Exposing the New World Order, the global corporate fascist state. 2+ hour film. Jason Burmis, I produced it. Now available at InfoWars.com. We have Police State, The Rise of FEMA coming out next week that I've made over the last year, proving this police state control grid and that the FEMA camps do indeed exist. Going back to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, separately on the police state, regardless of the Emergency Centers Act, regardless of the John Warner Defense Authorization Act, Patriot Act, we know U.S. citizens are being grabbed. The military is torturing them. They are holding them without trial. All of this is going on. The denial needs to end about the level of tyranny accelerating in our society.
Well, Alex, I don't know how much of it goes on, but what we do know for certain is that they have removed the barriers to it and can do it whenever they want. They can grab whoever they want. We had, the head of Homeland Security, fairly recently, saying that Homeland Security was shifting its attention from foreign terrorists to domestic American extremists. And we had not long ago the arrest of a blonde, blue-eyed woman as a terrorist. So they're already moving away from the Muslim threat. They used that to get all of those police state measures in place, and now they can apply them to the general population. But, Alex, before we go off into that, let me say one more thing about the income tax.
Absolutely.
Many progressives and liberals get disturbed at criticisms of the income tax because they think it's used for the poor. I was on a show just the other day where the host thought that the income tax paid for public schools and roads, and was unaware that the road system was built with gasoline tax and that the public schools are funded with property tax. But what? Let me just make a point about the use of the income tax revenues. The last week, David Lindorf published an article in which he said if you add up all of the military spending, not just the Pentagon's budget, but all of the other related military spending that's dispersed throughout the budget and other departments, and the supplementals for the wars and the CIA and so forth, that it comes to 53% of the federal income tax revenues. So that more than half of the federal income tax revenues are used to fund the military. Now, this is an extraordinary thing. I don't think it was this bad during the Dark Ages. But if you have the military function of the government, which has now 53% of the enserfed labor goes to support, this is an extraordinary thing. And it gives the military security complex such power, because a lot of these funds are recycled into political campaign contributions, that it's almost impossible to budge this. Now, if you look at the size of the American budget and then the military spending, the total thing that Lindorf presents, then you add in that of all of our allies in Europe, Japan, and in the nations that are friendly to us, it accounts for 2/3 of world military spending. And so how do we face a threat? How is Iran a threat? Now, this is really very interesting because Iran's annual military budget is $4.8 billion. Cost of maybe, 2 weeks of our war in Afghanistan. $4.8 billion is what the Pentagon spends on child care and recreation. It's what it spends on its replacement helicopters.
Or one or two stealth bombers.
Yeah. So here is Iran with a military budget equal to what the Pentagon spends on child care and recreation, and it's a threat to America.
It's amazing. Now going back, you were Ronald Reagan's chief financial market advisor, the father of Reaganomics, head of policy at the Treasury. What about the Grace Commission? Because my reading of that, it boils down to not one red cent of it goes to the American people or to run the country. From my reading, much of the money goes to interest on the debt, does it not?
Well, now. And one way they are keeping that down is the Federal Reserve is buying so much of the debt is in order to hold down the interest rate. But the minute that blows up, which it has to sooner or later, the cost of carrying the debt is going to be horrific. What if you remember the short-term interest rates that
Yes.
Volcker stuck on, 17%? I can remember when long-term treasuries, when I went into the Treasury, the interest rate on long-term treasuries was 16%. Can you imagine those kinds of interest rates today?
Well, let me ask you that. They're now talking about raising interest rates. A, what will that do? And then B, we've got Volcker, Obama, and people like Glenn Beck calling for sales taxes, value-added taxes, carbon taxes, saying we've got to pay this.
Well, the carbon tax, in my opinion, is something that Wall Street and the corporations have cooked up. And the purpose of the carbon tax is to make pollution profitable, because you can now buy and sell the right to pollute, and of course Wall Street will turn it into derivatives.
Sure, but what will that do to the economy?
I don't think that that is the threat to the economy. It may not help, but the threat is another unregulated, over-the-counter derivative instrument in which pollution becomes profitable. So it doesn't help the environment.
It can't happen without you, without a new spirit of service, a new spirit of sacrifice.
If you give it
CKLN listeners, again, that was Dr. Paul Craig Roberts on the Alex Jones Radio Show from the 15th of April 2010. And yeah, he did mention it did end off on the carbon tax note. And we are listening to the song Slumdog's List, my review of the movie Slumdog Millionaire. This is the UN Agenda 21 mix. And the hook is, if you give it all up, there's no guarantee you'll get it back. And that's where we segue from big evil banksters into Earth Day. Earth Day. We're just 3 days away from Earth Day. April 22nd, 2010. Celebrations have begun. I've got a crispy cold copy of the Now magazine here. The Earth Day issue, Earth's Unexplored Energies, the Next Science Revolution, on page 14. Mayor David Miller writes, don't let them trash Transit City. It says here, 9 ways to get your green groove on, page 19. Don't be bummed, look what we've won, page 25. And so on. And I did see, I was on College Street at a coffee time for a sec yesterday, and it struck me. I saw a young lady there, a beautiful young lady, blonde, I think, with a big bag, a big canvassy bag, and all it said was, green is good. Green is good. Now, if you can extrapolate that meaning into something that deals with genetically modified foods, or other genetic engineering in the environment, that deals with chemtrails seen for 12 years and certainly seen over Toronto in the last few weeks, although been fairly quiet the last few days, so maybe getting the word out is working on this issue, so they can't spray giant chemical lines in the sky that fall on us and ostensibly sicken us based on evidence worldwide, as opposed to contrails, little bits of moisture that evaporate quickly. So let's hear what they... Hear what they are.
A new spirit of sacrifice.
Somebody said, if you try to bring Africa up to a US or European standard of living, what would that mean? And some journalist said, well, you can't do that. That would be bad for the planet. These are non-civilian, zero-growth, genocidal lunatics.
And that's right. These are genocidal Malthusian lunatics at the very, very top of the Earth Day, of the environmental agenda, which, as constituted, is getting us to worry about the weather in 20 years, a possible 1 degree increase in temperature, and to drop everything we're doing now and reorganize our society totally around that. Now, there's two main reorganization memes being pushed by the banksters right now. One started on September 11th, 2001, which is the war on terror. We're supposed to reorganize the entire society and the entire world around the idea that we need to continue increasing security for an apparently continually increasing security threat, which gets me to thinking. And I know that's dangerous. You can be charged with a thought crime these days. But it gets me to thinking that the more security we have, the more threatened we are by terrorists or our own security, and our own security. And that's a pattern that we've seen for long enough now to sort of establish that. And it's important to get people that can establish with certainty, you know, what exactly is going on here. And one of those people, fortunately, is Lord Christopher Monckton. He is a British Lord, former advisor to Margaret Thatcher. And he was also on the Alex Jones Show on the 15th of April, 2010. A couple of great guests that day. Two old white guys with a lot of great stuff to say about the system. And when you know the system's run by old white guys, and you know both of these guys, you know, former Reagan, you know, Secretary of the Treasury, Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, former Wall Street Journal writer, 71-year-old man, could easily go work for them in some capacity, selling some New World Order BS, or Lord Christopher Monckton, a British lord, speaking in ways that his peers don't about a watermelon green communist revolution taking place behind United Nations environmental initiatives, fraudulent ones, I and he may add. And he's been on this for about 15 or 20 years. So he's been battling the scientists and the people pushing this from the Kyoto protocols back in the 90s through Copenhagen in December that was supposed to establish a world government. So I'm going to give Lord Christopher Monckton, a chance to break down a bit of what's happening. If you are into Earth Day and you do think, well, isn't it better if we use a little bit less? Isn't it better if we at least do something? The problem is that something fits into a larger New World Order agenda to lower our standards of living, to get us all feeling guilty, and to get us all sort of worshiping, sacrificing for the Earth. In the hopes that we're doing our little part to save it. This is a form of collectivism. Let's all of us give up what we have now to make sure there's something later, as opposed to use technology, resources, business development, good old-fashioned capitalism and work ethic to develop what we have now and use our technology to improve our standards of living. So here in the early part of the 21st century, should we do with less? Should we, you know, worry about the weather in 20 years when these guys, the weather, you know, forecasters now can't even get it right for the weekend? You can't even plan to go to a cottage. Well, Lord Christopher Monckton, again on the Alex Jones Show, is going to break that down. And Toronto especially, we've been really hit hard by this.
The moment to lose these illusions.
As Webster Tarpley says, this time is the moment to lose these illusions. With all the hype around Earth Day, if you are someone who is in good conscience, someone who wants to be a good steward of the environment, look into these matters
the
more.
The countless other scandals that have come out, because it's positive this is all coming out, but it's almost like they're coming out too quick. We don't have time to take each one and get it out to the public.
It is quite extraordinary how in the last few months, since the ClimateGate emails were first revealed, there's been a kind of breaking of the logjam, and scientists who for years have been wanting to write papers saying what nonsense this is are now finding the courage to do so. It's very interesting, and this statistical report from the UK is very significant, because the UK has been the most true believing of all the sappy world governments on this issue. And so much so that in 2004, when the Russians under Vladimir Putin wanted to get a briefing for their Academy of Sciences on the global warming scare, it was the British government they asked to send a delegation to do the briefing. And Sir David King went across with those people. However, Dr. Ilarionov of the Russian Academy of Sciences, who is a formidable mind, is also very careful, and he got together half a dozen skeptics, one of whom told me the story of what happened. So David King began coming out with the usual string of lies about how the climate was doomed, etc., etc. Fact after fact was simply incorrect. And eventually, Professor Paul Reiter, who was one of those who'd been invited, the world's expert on malaria, who says that global warming will not affect the spread of malaria pretty much at all, He went along, and he stood up, he said, it's no good for David King. These facts are simply not right. And he began challenging David King. And in fact, David King was furious. He had never faced such a challenge before. He stormed out of the meeting, taking the British delegation with him, leaving the field entirely clear for the sceptics, who then gave a marvellous, thorough, comprehensive briefing to Dr. Ilarionov, who, in summing up that meeting, in just 3 pages of text, gives one of the best summaries of why global warming is not and can never be a global crisis that any National Academy of Sciences has ever delivered. But here's what happened next. Tony Blair met Vladimir Putin at one of these endless world government summits of the G8 or the G20 or the G77 or whichever piece of arithmetic you like. And he said, look, let's do a deal. If you agree to say that global warming is terrible and shut up your Academy of Science and get it to say the opposite of what it believes to be true, I will let you into the World Trade Organization with most favored nation status. That's what goes on. There's no truth behind any of this. And
hello? What up? Hello? Yo, I can't hear you. Let me call you right back.
I sense someone's tapping into my phones. Why do I got this feeling in my bones? I might die soon. The FBI might be trying to pull my file soon. I might be walking blindfold into a typhoon. I might be seeing rockets light up the night sky right outside of the window.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. That was, again, Lord Christopher Monckton on the Alex Jones Radio Show talking about one of the countless admissions of science. And there are 31,000 scientists at the petitionproject.org who've been signing petitions to the U.S. Congress for years. The number kept growing, saying, please don't take any huge action on global warming. The science is crap. And this has been written about, again, in U.K. papers where they do say more, but they, again, have a much more controlled population. So here in Canada, we're lucky. We're kind of halfway between England and America, and we do have some choices to make when it comes to this. So here during Earth Day, strongly recommend you check out websites like freedomadvocates.org, the work of Michael Shaw, the work of Professor Michael Kaufman, C-O-F-F-M-A-N. Global Warming or Global Governance is a great film. And look at some of the critics of climate change. Google Climate Gate, which talked about the emails released on November 20th last year, which showed top climate research unit scientists at East Anglia University behind the United Nations IPCC International Panel on Climate Change know they're lying and try and figure out how to lie better to make more money. And so their own internal emails were released revealing the fraud. But let's take a look at what's on the Metro here. It says here, learning to live a greener life, just today, this morning, April 19th, 2010, on page 20. And let's just analyze. I haven't actually seen this yet, and I do like doing this sort of thing, just to see if what I was thinking is confirmable. Well-rounded education, energy-efficient domed schools sparking a global revolution. Based in Emmett, Idaho, this facility is the first monolithic dome school built. Emmett's 900 students use two 180-foot diameter domes that house classrooms and a gymnasium. And wow, presence of the monolithic dome. So anyway, that's one idea they have here right now. And I got to say, if you've seen the Simpsons movie out there, there was a part where the town of Springfield was encased in a domed city after the Environmental Protection Agency in the U.S. declared it for some reason. I forget the details, but that is, according to Alan Watt at CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, what the UN actually has planned. He said he's seen a model of Toronto that somebody showed him, which is a future model of what Toronto will look like, courtesy of UN Agenda 21, their plan for sustainable development to herd us all off the land, to have the wealthy people of the world who control the UN confiscate all our property, and to herd us into compact cities where we're stacked and packed. That's why we don't really care about the size of our backyard anymore. We just, you know, wonder about the interest rates in our condo. 5 years fixed, and then who the hell knows variable after that. So you know, these are the things the UN kind of plans behind the scenes and then executes in incremental ways. And so when it comes to these dome classrooms, it seems like a creepy coincidence to me. And it says here the book Carbon Shift, Shifting on Carbon. The book Carbon Shift brings together six of Canada's world-class experts to explore the question of where we stand now and where we ought to be headed in regards to our environment. But of course, if there are carbon credits, that means that you have to buy them. So the wealthy people of the world will be able to buy the right to pollute pretty much from themselves, their own companies, and enrich themselves tremendously and then resell that in derivatives, as Paul Craig Roberts says, and it'll just make pollution profitable. You know, that's basically what it is. That's what the big scam is. So what are we doing about this? What are we doing about things like the G20 meeting coming to Toronto June 26th and 27th? Well, you know, TorontoTruthSeekers.com is a great organization to join. We are a We Are Change affiliate. And I got to play this clip before it escapes my mind. I'm so sorry, CKLN listeners. You know when a YouTube clip is all loaded up and you think it's right there and you think it's ready to go?
To go out there and say thank you to Stephen for supporting.
All right.
And I want to thank him for his courage.
So this is a clip from the Stephen Colbert Show. This is Luke Radowski.
The Bilderberg Group is different than the Bohemian Group. The Bilderberg Group is more secret. It's not a little vacation.
Okay.
It's the one
fourth row on the right side.
Luke Radowski from WeAreChange.org at a taping of the Colbert Report on the 15th of April.
Now, we weren't allowed to film, so I'm sorry for the video quality, but we have to clandestinely film in the middle of our conversation. But, you know, after the conversation I had with Stephen, he goes and sits down and he does his new segment. And in the middle of his new segment, he just goes off and says,
Marty, thank you for joining us. I just want to thank you for the welcome you just gave me. And I just want to say that anybody out there watching, that if you're in the secret Bilderberg group, please don't assassinate freelance reporters. It's just not nice, guys. It's not nice. And please, call me. Call me. You owe me one, buddy. Okay. Now, they gotta go through me.
I was extremely excited to see Stephen actually mention it on his news program, and I really want to thank him because.
And again, that was Luke Radowski. Luke Radowski from WeAreChange.org. Fortune favors the bold, folks. Stephen Colbert actually said to the Bilderberg Group, please don't kill journalists, truthers, guys like young Luke trying to find out what you're up to. And so there's fun things we can do in this culture. You know what? The cat's out of the bag. It's up to us to sort of to walk around saying that, showing off. TorontoTruthSeekers.com is a We Are Change affiliate. Definitely shouting them out. PressForTruth.ca, new film United We Fall. Look for details at PressForTruth.ca. ConspiracyCulture.com, great book and DVD store. Freedom Fest events coming up from 4/20, April 20th through to March 1st. Look, go to conspiracyculture.com for details. The Toronto Street News on the streets of Toronto right now. Definitely help out a homeless guy if you got a chance to. And as we listen to the new Cypress Hill song featuring Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine, Rise Up, keep in mind that's something you can do at Infowars.com, NaturalNews.com, TrendsResearch.com, other great websites. Check out VigilantCitizen.com to break down the pop culture that's ubiquitous in our city. But what else is going to be ubiquitous for the next 4 hours is the People's DJ, David James. So I'm out of here, folks, for the 19th of April, 2010. Have a great day, everybody. I leave you with some new Cypress Hill featuring Tom Morello from the album Rise Up. This is Rise Up.
This right here is as high as it gets. Somebody like to split the hill. Kept it real, just be stuck on a set. So just throw forward, show you gotta pass the check. Got my clock on deck and my custom vest reads. You can't fuck with me, I'm the best. And you can keep the stress, cause I smoke nothing less than the cush step back. I'm tired of getting pushed out of my soul.
we fall off track. You get your mind right and make a stack. I made a pact with my crew on the hill. We'll continue to build for all the people who will need that bill. Gotta rise up.